Starting at Nun Zion Abu Aleph at the top. They organize these dafim very well that they stop and end at Mishnah. But this is it. Next page, not. Okay. Konam perot ha'elu alai. Konam hein alpi. Konam hein lipi. We actually learned this already. Asur b'chilufehen u'begidulehen. Okay. If you say, these fruits will be konam to me, okay, they'll be konam on my mouth, they'll be konam to my mouth. Okay, it's a debate what exactly is the difference. Is there, I mean, obviously, in the end, the halacha is the same for all these. Why each lashon, what each one adds, there's different debates about it. You're forbidden to basically the assumption. Now, again, there's going to be a four-way machloket as to what's kove, or maybe at least four ways. I shouldn't say four ways. I'll bring you four ways. Why this lashon specifically, as opposed to we're going to see the next lashon, forbids the chilufehen, which means if you trade, you barter, let's say you said these fruits are forbidden to me, and then you trade them for some other item, that other item is also going to be forbidden to you. And if you replant it, it's also going to be forbidden to you, whatever grows from that plant. And I'll just, before I give the explanation, I'm going to read the second case. Sha'ani ochel v'sha'ani to'em, mutar b'chilufehen u'begidulehen. If you say, what I eat or what I taste, then you're allowed to do the chilufehen and the gidulehen. Okay, you can, if you swap it for, okay, so now there's actually, I'm actually not wording it right. Most of the mafreshim say that it's usher also b'chilufehen and b'gidulehen. And you can't barter it and say I'm going to eat it. But if you did, then b'dieved you're not over on the isser. Okay, some people say even it's only usher midorabana, not usher midoraita. Okay. So, or I think, the truth is maybe I'm confusing. I'm not sure if it's Asur Midrabanan. But in any case, ideally don't do it, but if you did it, it's mutar. What's the difference? So the first case, some people say it's because you said the word konam. Okay? If you look in Tosfot, that's what he says. Velogar sinam perot ha'elu. Perot elu. It says konam perot ha'elu. Okay? So you said konam, and that makes it like hekdesh, and hekdesh is asur bahana, and once it's asur bahana, then you can't have any benefit from it down the road. The Meiri says it's because it says alai. Konam perot ha'elu alai, on me, or lipi, right, or alpi, as opposed to I won't eat, right, and I won't taste. So if once you put it on me, then we're going to be more machmir about it. The Rush mentions this an opinion that it could be because you said perot ha'elu. This seems to be actually, and the Ron also goes with this elu. Because you said elu, you said these, as opposed to the second case, which is konam, right, doesn't say all the words, but the assumption is it's konam perot she'eni ochel, or she'eni to'em, or she'eni ochel she'eni to'em, which means she'eni, right? So there, you're just saying, I won't ever eat te'anim, I won't ever eat anavim, as opposed to saying, I won't eat these anavim. If you say these anavim, then if you switch them, it's a problem. If you say, I won't eat anavim, and the anavim get traded for something else, obviously you can eat whatever comes from, right? You can eat the trade that you made from them, because those anavim were never necessarily in your, you didn't mean all anavim in the world. And then, according to that interpretation, by the way, would be mutar the gamre in that case.
It's a very unclear mission.
It's very unclear.
Because they don't say the second.
It's right, they don't say all the words of the second, exactly. The words are missing there. So, yes, it's very unclear. The Ran says, because you said elu, it includes also hana'ah. Whereas if you only say shani to'em or shani ochel, you're clearly talking about isur achila. And you're not necessarily talking about Isur Hana'ah. And again, once you have Isur Hana'ah, then we're going to extend it. It's going to be like Hekdesh. And Hekdesh, you can't flip into something else and lose the Hekdesh. It doesn't work like that. And if you replant it, it would also be a problem. So then it's treated like Hekdesh, which is different from these fruits are forbidden to me, where they're not necessarily treated like Hekdesh. So again, many different ways of reading it. Unclear what exactly it means. As Shari pointed out, a very unclear Mishnah. Okay. Now, another unclear line, what this is exactly referring to, but I'll explain it according to one interpretation, just so as not to totally confuse you today. B'davar shezar'o kale, All this, when we talk about this, is referring to when Zar'o Kale. Okay, what does that mean? We talked about this when we learned about the Chilufei Hen and the Gidil, when this sukkah was quoted a few dapim ago. That what does it mean? If you plant it and the seed itself, right, that what you planted doesn't actually regrow, it turns into something else. Aval b'davar she'in Zar'o Kale. Okay, but if, like they talk about garlic, that the garlic you plant and then it regrows that actual garlic itself. In that case, afilu gidulei gidulin asurim. Okay, then, so the simple reading of this is that this refers both to the Reisha and the Seifa, and it basically means that the Chiddush is that no matter what, the gidulei gidulim are going to be forbidden. Whether you said it this way, whether you said it that way, the gidulei gidulim are going to be forbidden in the case where the actual item is still, it's still intact, right, if it's going to regrow.
Even in the case where you say gidulei hen is mutar?
Exactly, exactly. All the interpretations at least understand that. Just some people say it's dafka on the second part where it says gidulehem mutar, but gidulehem would be asur. There's no need to say it for the Reisha. But some people say no. Even in the Reisha, you need to know that the Reisha talked about gidulehem, but it didn't talk about gidulehem. So now they're saying that even when gidulehem is asur, if it's ein zaro kale, if it's ein zaro kale, that it's still existing, the seed, then even it's going to go further on. It's going to go to the gidulehem. Next case. Ha'omer le'ishto, kona ma'aseh yadayech alai. I'm going to be forbidden from anything that you make. Konan hen al pi, okay, anything that you create, right? If you sew a blanket, I won't get benefit from it. If you bake a loaf of bread, I won't benefit from it. Konan hen lipi, same lashon, asur b'chilufei hen u'b'gidulei hen. Now the first question that gets raised here is, if you'll remember when I say it, you will. How could you forbid ma'aseh yadeha? It's future. It's something she'en bo mamash, right? It doesn't exist right now. Okay? So you can't make a neder on something that doesn't exist. So we had this before where the ma'aseh yadeha dafka came up and they said, oh no, it meant konam yadayech l'maaseh, like I'm not going to get benefit from your hands and anything your hands make. So you might have to do it that way. Some people say you can even say it the other way, but it's a question that's raised here. Okay, but again, he's talking, it's the exact same case. He's saying, I'm going to forbid something. And then, if he says it in Lashon, Kona Maaseh Yadayech Alai, it's going to be Asur B'Chilufei Hen U'B'Gidulei Hen. Anything she makes and then trades for something else, or, you know, she then, let's say she plants a field, and then from the field that she planted, other things grew. So, we're going to say that it's all Asur. But if he says shani ochel shani toem mutar b'chilufei hen u'b'gidulei hen, okay. If he says I won't eat it, I won't taste it, then it's just the object itself that she makes, and not the chilufei hen u'b'gidulei hen. And again, b'davar shezaro kale aval davar she'en zaro kale afilu gidulei gidulin asurim. Right? You have to wonder why they need to say this again. It seems obvious. Sha'at osa eini ochel ad haPesach. Sha'at osa eini mitkaseh ad haPesach. If something that you make, I will not eat until Pesach. Okay? Something that you make, I will not be covered, right? If you make clothes, I will not use it ad haPesach. So now this is what you call a misplaced modifier, right? It's what is ad haPesach referring to? Is it referring to that you're going to make ad haPesach? Or is it referring to that I'm not going to cover myself ad haPesach? So this way, they're assuming, since you said ad haPesach at the end, it must mean you're referring to the last part of your statement. So therefore, so what does it mean? Sha'at osa, right? Anything you make in general, eini ochel ad haPesach. I won't eat until Pesach. So therefore, what does it mean? Asta lifnei haPesach. Let's say she makes something before Pesach. Mutar le'echol u'lehitkasot achar haPesach. You can take an item she made before Pesach and wear it after Pesach, because all he said was, I'm not going to get benefit from it until Pesach. But he didn't say, I'm not going to get benefit from it after Pesach. He wasn't referring to anything she made before Pesach, after Pesach. But if you say, Sha'at osa ad haPesach, eini mitkaseh. Okay, let's say you say, sorry, I skipped a line. Sha'at osa ad haPesach, eini ochel. And Sha'at osa ad haPesach, eini mitkaseh. Here the ad haPesach is clearly referring to what she makes. So anything she makes in that particular time frame will be forbidden to him, obviously, even after Pesach. So therefore, astalif ne'a Pesach, asur le'echol u'lehitkasot achara Pesach. Okay, now we're going to get to a case that we saw quoted a while back. Okay, it was on Tet Vav Amud Aleph, so I'm sure you'll remember this because it was an interesting case. She'ane nehenet li ad ha-Pesach, im olechet at le-Beit Avich ad ha-Chag. Remember this? You can't get benefit from me until Pesach. He's standing at Sukkot time, okay? He says, you will not get any benefit from me till Pesach if you go to your father's house for this whole entire year. In other words, so let's put it in simpler terms. For 6 months, you won't get, the first 6 months of the year, you won't get benefit from me if you go to your father's house for the entire year. Now, it's a tricky statement because the neder is chal now on something that she still can't do the entire year. So, hachalif na Pesach, let's say she goes before Pesach, then asura bahana'atel ad Pesach. Okay, if she goes, let's say after month number one, she goes to her father's house, so she is now forbidden to get any benefit from her husband. What's the implication of this statement? If you remember, we had a whole machloket about this. Is she allowed to go milachatchila? Right? Can she go starting the beginning of month number one before she goes to the father's house? Is she allowed to, or does she have to sit there waiting? Where we have this whole thing. Once she does it, we can be sure that she won't be over on her neder then, so it's okay. Or do we say no? She has to sit and wait. And you can't do it until Pesach, basically, because you don't know what's going to be. So there's a machloket about it. La'achar Pesach, what happens after Pesach? Bibal Yachel. Let's say Pesach passes, she got benefit from her husband, because according to the simple reading of this, she doesn't have to sit and wait, right? She can actually get benefit from them. But then month number eight, she goes to her father's house. So at that point, she now is over on Bal Yachel. She now, what's the word? She went against her neder. Okay? Yisr Doraita, Bal Yachel.
Why? It's his neder.
It's his neder.
Oh, it's his neder. Yeah, but she... Right, so who's... Right, but she was not allowed to get Hana from him, and she got Hana. So, right, I think if I remember correctly, we had a whole debate there as to who actually gets the Bal Yachel, right? Did we discuss that there was a whole issue as to who gets Bal Yachel? Who's...
I remember a whole lot of timelines.
Yeah. Right, yes, there were timelines. I should have looked back. And
somebody got Malkot.
Right, so you're right. That was the whole question. Who gets the Malkot? Right, I think there was a whole thing about whether she gets the malkot or he gets it. Right. Here they just simply say that she's overed on Bal Yachel. But I think there was some possibility that he was. But the simple is that she's over on Bal Yachel because she was the one who was forbidden. It's true he forbade her, but she's the one who's forbidden. Okay. Now, before we move on, I want to just point out that there's a machloket Rambam and Ravid, which is, let's say she doesn't get benefit from the husband for the first 6 months, okay? In which case, if she goes in month number eight to her father's house, what's going to happen? Nothing, right? There's no Isser Bal Yachel because she didn't get benefit from him. So there's a machloket Rambam and Ravid if she's allowed to milchatchila. Is she allowed to go to the father's house after that? So the Rambam says, no way, because his whole neder, in other words, he said, I don't want you to go to your father's house for a year. If you do, you'll be forbidden to me for the first 6 months. But just because the Tanai didn't get fulfilled, he still forbade her to go, like it's disrespectful to him. He didn't want her to go for the whole year. The Ravid says, no. He predicated on the first half on getting benefit from him, and she didn't get benefit from him, so she can go. So it's an interesting machloket as to what the status is. It's really, I guess, a question of what did he mean by his statement. Like, really, his statement meant, I don't want you to go the whole year. That's what the Rambam says. So she'd be basically still kind of going against his statement. Now, obviously, she wouldn't get malkot for it. It wouldn't be Bal Yachel Dvaro, but it would still be forbidden for her to do it. Whereas the Ravid says, no. Once the 6 months passes, if she fulfills her part, you know, she didn't get benefit from him, then obviously she's free to do whatever she wants.
Well, is she forbidden, or is she just forfeiting her right to benefit? Let's say she says,
no, but the
my father will support me. I don't need to support
I see.
Me. Like, he's not actually forbidden.
Right, it's true. It's not that it's forbidden. It's only forbidden if she gets benefit. Right.
Because otherwise people would be able to control other people.
And that's why it could be the Ravid says there's no problem. Once she doesn't benefit, well, it doesn't matter. You know, there's nothing.
He doesn't have matoda for her.
Right, And therefore, but there's nothing even wrong with it. Now, the Rambam says, which is interesting, because the Rambam in general, Islamic view of men, women, you know, it could be affected by this, but, you know, the husband's point was, don't go to your father's house, and you're not listening to your husband.
Have we discussed in the past, and I think we have, the concept of making a neder that binds somebody else? Is it only holding in this case because of the husband-wife relationship?
No. Anyone
can.
Yeah, sure.
And someone else is over.
You can't say there's a neder.
Right. Again, you can only forbid them to your items. You can't make a neder on someone else about someone else's items.
You can't
items.
Tell him he can't go into his own house.
Okay. Exactly. But you, when it comes to your items, which this, the husband's talking about my stuff, you can't benefit from me if you do this. Okay. So anyone can do that to anyone else, but it relates to their own stuff, but not to anything else. Sha'at nehenetli, let's say he says, now we're going to have sort of a flip, where it's not exactly flip, but sha'at nehenetli adachag, you can't benefit from me for the entire year. Im holechet at lebeit avicha ad pesach. Now, the forbidden time is shorter than the time she's not allowed to go to her father's house is shorter than the other time, right? So you can't go for the first 6 months, and if you do, then you can't get benefit from me, but still it starts from now, right? From now for the entire year. So again, hachalifnei ha-Pesach, if she goes some point before Pesach to her father's house, because that's the forbidden time she's not allowed to go to her father's house, then asura b'hana'ato ad ha-chag, right? Then she's forbidden the entire year. Again, what it's implied from here? That she doesn't have to start out the year not getting benefit from her father's step, from her husband's step, because it only says if after Pesach she goes, then she's asher b'hana'at ha-chag. U'mutar lelech achar Pesach. And after Pesach passes, clearly, right, this is almost, it doesn't even need to be said. Seems like they're just saying it to compare to the first case. But obviously she's mutar lelech achar Pesach.
So this whole neder would sort of disappear at Pesach.
Yes. Yes, because...
So why even say till Sukkot?
No, because if she goes before Pesach, then she's going to be forbidden the whole year. Oh. It's only if she doesn't go to her father's house till Pesach, then the whole thing is gone. Because the time period of the Isser was only the first 6 months. The Hana'ah was for the whole year, but that's only predicated on if she goes to her father's house. Okay, Gemara. Ha'omir lishto konam asei adayach alai, konam hem api, konam hem lipi, v'chulei. Okay, we're starting with that case, the Maaseh Adah. Yishmal ish kfar yama, v'amrila ish kfar dima, or di yama, it's pronounced in different places, and it's punctuated different ways in different places. Okay, either he lived near the yam, or he lived in this place called kfar dima. The Koran actually puts this kfar yama, he says it's in a, they say it's in a, here they, it's right off the Kinneret. Far Yama is Yavne'el, okay, right? The southern part of the Kinneret. Okay, so he was from there. He'elab yado batzal, sha'akru, okay, this question is going to relate a little indirectly. So now there's two ways to read this. Either he'elab yado batzal, he had in his hand this batzal and he asked a question about it, or he'elab yado just meant he asked a question. It was meant figuratively, okay? What? What's wrong? You lost the place? We're 4 lines from where the Gemara is. Ishkar Yama, Ishkar Dima, Helabia do Batzal. Okay, but what was with this Batzal? Sha'akruba Shvi'it. They uprooted it in the Shemitah year. Unita Oba Shminit. And they replanted it in the 8th year. Okay, now what's going to be the issue? Number one, we have an issue of Dezev Kedushat Shvi'it or not, okay? We haven't yet gotten to the question, but take an onion that's Kedushat Shvi'it. Now, there's another more important aspect of Shemitah, which is, there's a halacha. What does it say about Shemitah? It's lecha ulebemtecha, right? It's for you to eat and for your animals to eat. Therefore, what happens in a Shemitah year with all your produce? Okay, this year you have fruits on your trees, right? Assuming your fruits budded in the Shemitah year, then there's Shemitah produce. Then what happens to them? Or your vegetables, you know, that grow this year? You can eat them, and you can bring them into your house, not in large quantities. You can bring them into your house and eat them. Obviously, anything out there is hefker, anyone could take it. But when there's no more left outside, you have to get rid of everything in your house because it's an equality thing. It has to be for you and for your animals. So if your animals can no longer eat it, because there's nothing for them left in the fields, you have to do what's called bi'ur. You have to leva'er at HaKadosh Min Abayi. You have to take out, okay? We do this with bi'ur masro. There's also a thing about bi'ur masro. There's also, but this is bi'ur shnat shmitah. So now, you weren't miva'er this onion, and you replanted it now in the eighth year. So now, what's going to be the situation? Rabu gidulav al ikaro. Okay, and now what happens is this onion gets, you could sort of say, overpowered. Okay, at this point, the onion started out as a Shemitah onion, and now it regrew, and the gidulim are more than the ikar. Right, the ikar was the first onion you started with. You replanted it. Now, what grew from it is many, many onions. Okay, and the assumption is right again. There's dinei bitul. Now we're going to get all into dinei bitul. Okay, a very popular sugya in Shas. How dinei bitul works. Okay, in different situations. So generally, we have bitul b'shishim. Okay, then we have right general things. Basar b'chalev is 60. Okay, you need 60 times one thing to overpower the other. In Truma, it's Meah. You need 100 times to counter a Truma. And when it comes to Orla, you need 200. Okay, so now's going to be the question. Okay, here the amount doesn't really so much matter. They're not really relating it to that. They're saying, let's say it overpowers it by, you know, here in this case, we would assume it would be, I don't think Shemitah has a special halacha. I think it's just regular, but I'm not sure. But it has the actual, whatever amount you need to be batel. But hachi kamid bayalei. But this was his question. So now there's going to be two ways to read it. I'm going to read it first one way, and then I'll read it the second way. Gidulav heter, v'ikaro asur. Right? What grew from this is mutar, because it's eighth year produce. And the ikar, though, is asur, that one onion you planted originally. Kevan di rabu, here comes the question now. Question starts here. Kevan di rabu gidulav me'ikaro, since the gidulim are now greater than the ikar, Otan gidulei heter ma'alina ta'isur olo. Do we say that the heter overpowers, cancels out? Ma'alin is often a term they use when they mean batel. Okay, it's mivatel. Do we say it cancels out the isur or not? Okay? Another way of reading it, it's not necessarily a huge difference, but there is a minor difference. The second way of reading is that the question starts immediately. Do we say that gidulav heter in ikaro asur? Okay? And therefore, since Rabu Gidulam Ikaro, and therefore Gidulei Heter Ma'alina Ta'isur, or do we say that the Gidulav are not even Heter because they came from Isur? Okay? So there's two ways of understanding this question. So that was his question. Atala Kameja Rabbi Ami. He comes before Rabbi Ami with this question. Lo Hava Biyade, he didn't know how to answer him. So he goes to a different rabbi, right? Pashat lemin hada. He answers him from here. Da amar Rabbi Chanina Trita. Okay, different explanations what this means. Trita, from Trita, from a place, or does it mean something else? Anyway, that's his name, Rabbi Chanina Trita. Amar Rabbi Yanai says in the name of Rabbi Yanai, batzal shel truma shenitao. Let's say you take a batzal of truma. And you replant it. Virabu gidulav al ikaro mutar. And then this truma plant grows, right? And it becomes the ikar, you know, it's just the truma. The what came from it becomes much greater by 100, right? At least 100. Then we say it's mutar. What grew cancels out the ikar. So here you have your answer. Very simple. Seems very simple, but it's not going to be very simple because Amar le Rabbi Yirmiyah, v'itema Rabbi Zreika, either Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Zreika gets up and says, Shavik mar train v'avik kechad? Are you going to leave over two rabbis' opinions and go by a da'at yachid? There's two other rabbis that totally disagree with this guy. Now, it's not entirely true that they totally disagree with him because what we're going to now bring is two statements of rabbis that each are talking about different situations, but they all seem to be the same. Okay, we're going to say, from here we can learn, you know, that they would disagree with him, and therefore we should go by the other option, which is, D'amar Rabbi Avahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Here's the first rabbi. Rabbi Avahu says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Yalda shesibcha bizkena. Okay, this is not a child and an old woman, okay, that got into a fight with each other. It's talking about a young vine, okay? So a yalda shesibcha bizkena, you took a young vine and you grafted it onto an older one. Okay, what does it mean, young? Orla. Okay, remember, Orla we said was 200. Again, the numbers here aren't really bothering them. That's not the issue here. But it's a case of Isser. Isser, you know, Bahana also. You took a younger plant, a sapling, with fruits on it, and you grafted it onto an older one. Uba perot, okay, that's right. It had fruits on it. The younger one had actual Orla fruits on them. Af al pisho sifa mataim asur. Even though there's 200 new fruits that grow, it's still that young sapling, the fruits that were from that young sapling, are usher. Okay? It doesn't cancel it out. So now you see that if you take something, you kind of, it's like replanting, right? You graft it onto something else. Tons more now grow. You know, bizchut maybe that original one. So then we say it's still usher. But Amar Rishon Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, here's the second guy. Batzal shenita'o bekeren. Let's say you plant, okay, this is a kilayim case. You plant a batzal in, you know, with the vineyard, so it grows kilayim, basically. V'ne'ekar ha'kerem. And then you uproot the kerem, so there's no longer iser kilayim. Asur. Okay, so even though you get rid of the kerem, the original plant, right, batzal, right, and the assumption here would be, again, that, and it grew, right, all these batzalim grew, more than, right, that could cancel out that one batzal that was from the earlier one. So now, or, you know, maybe there were many, but many, many, many more grew. It's still asur. So again, you see that we're going to still consider it asur. Okay, by the way, I want to just point out a few things about this before we finish. One possibility as to why this wouldn't be batel is because it's called a davar chashuv. There's certain categories of things. We're going to see these as we move on. One is, we've learned already, davar sheyesh lo mitirin, it's going to come up again. Something that will ultimately be mutar. Okay, that's going to come up on already in the top of the next daf. We're not going to start with it today. But there's all sorts of categories. If you have a briya b'fnei atzma, like a bug, for example. So a bug could be batzal b'shishim. But if the entire bug is in your, right, if it's a piece of a bug, so it could be batzal b'shishim. If it's an entire bug, then it's called a briya b'fnei atzma, and it can't be canceled. So that's why bugs are like a really big thing in kashrut, because even if they're teeny, then, right, it's still a problem. Or for example, if you have, you make a blended soup. So once you blend it already, let's say a bug got in, right? You hope not, but let's say a bug got in. So it gets chopped up, it could be batel in it. But if the bug is whole, it can't be canceled out. Like if you have a regular soup and the bug falls into your soup, then it's a problem.
So
I know, pleasant conversation.
Blend your bugs.
It'll taste better too.
Yes. So there's another category called davar chashuv. And some of them, Mefarshim, say that what's going on here is that this is a davar chashuv. Why is it a davar chashuv? Think about even the wording. Ikaro, right? It's all these other onions, or whatever they are, grew from this onion. It was the ikar, right? The main thing, right? What is ikar? I mean the main, right? It doesn't just mean the root, right? It was from there, everything came out of there. So therefore, there might be more reason in this case to be machmir than regular DNA bita wouldn't apply because of its chashivut. Okay? There's also machloket about is, what are we even talking about here? Are we talking about that we want to matir all the other gidulim? Or are we talking about that we want to matir even the original one? And then some people say, obviously the original one's a problem. The question is just, are all these other ones that came from it going to be mutar? Because, you know, yes, they came mikoch this thing, but already it's canceled out. Or is the question, or maybe not, because they came from something that was asur, something problematic. Or are we saying, is the ikar itself batel to all of these other things? So, you know, we started off with a Mishnah that was very unclear, and we continued on in a Gemara that's very unclear as to what really they're referring to here. Okay, so basically, just refreshing our memory, Yishmael Ish Kfar Yama or Ish Kfar Dima had a question. He brought up this question: do we say with the Kedushat Shvi, right, the issue of Leva'eret HaShvi, You replant it, and then it becomes, you know, much greater. Is it canceled or not? Rabbi Yitzchak, he came to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami said, I don't know. He went to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. He said, it's mutar, based on this other sugya. Then came either Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Zreika and said, how could you be going by one against Dat Yachid, against the other two guys, and two guys who basically side with, it's not canceled. So then, he was a little confused, I guess. So, Hadar Ata Lekame de Rabbi Ami. He goes back to Rabbi Ami. Okay, this is a good case of, when you ask a rabbi a question, you don't get an answer. Sometimes what happens? The rabbi sits and rethinks it, and by the time you get back to him, he actually has an answer, right? Sometimes you go ask someone, and then you say, oh, I'll go ask someone else. But you've already, you know, piqued his curiosity. He wants to look up an answer, you know, and he comes up with an answer later, even though he doesn't necessarily know you're going to come back to him or not. But in the end, he comes back to him, Upashat Lemin Hada, and he answers him from here. To Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Litra Bitzalim, Litra is a measurement. You have an amount of bitzalim, of onions, shetikna, you took truma to masra from them. Okay, you have a whole group of onions, you take truma to masra from them, bizara, and then you replant some of those onions. So now what's the story? When you go to take maestrot from the new crop, in theory, you can take less maestrot because some of them were already maestered, right? You already maestered it. So what are the answer? What's the halacha? Mit aseret lefi kula. You have to take truma maestrot in the entire thing. It's as if, right? What is as if? It's as if it got canceled again, right? The fact that you took truma maestrot is now canceled as soon as you replanted it. Alma otan gidulin mevatlin ikar. Here you see that those gidulin cancel the ikar. So that's what we think now. But what is the Gemara answer? I actually think there's a different possible way of answering. That it could be, I don't know enough about it, but it could be that truma and maestrot are a function of something growing. If here's this grew, it doesn't matter that you already took truma and maestrot from it, it's a new, like, what's the machayev of truma and maestrot? Is it, you know, the thing itself, or as soon as something grows, it kind of like has a new chiyuv of truma and maestrot. But anyway, the Gemara has a better answer, which is dilma l'chumra shane. In this case, if you say that it cancels out, right, the truma maestrot they're already taken, you're basically being machmir, right? It's a way, right? If we say it can't, there's dina bitul here. Generally, dina bitul is a kula, right? It's canceled, and therefore you can have it. Like with our case, what was it? It was a shmita case. The stuff was shmita. We want to know, is it canceled, and therefore there's no isher because we were supposed to be mevaer and we weren't, and therefore we can't eat it. So there we want it to be mekel. Here we want to be, right? It's dafka machmir if you say it cancels out. So you could say you can't learn one from the other because here they're going l'chumra. Okay, now obviously, and I'm going to raise this as a question because the answer is complicated. Anyway, the question is much better than the answer. We have our general question that every time we have truma and maestrot and you're talking about a chumra here, right? They say we're going l'chumra. What's going to be the problem? You can't take truma or maestrot min hachayav ala patur min hapatur ala chayav or from chiyuv d'oraita al chiyuv d'rabbanan. You now have this mixture. It becomes a huge problem because you have to take truma and maestrot on this. But if we're saying it's just a chumra, then you're saying that some of it is chayav d'oraita and some of it's chayav d'rabbanan, and then you're going to have this big confusion. How can you possibly take truma and maestrot on it? And there's some answers given as to how you do it in a way that, you know, but it's complicated. Okay? So
keep people from growing things.
Right. Right. It definitely makes things complicated. Okay.
It also seems very confusing that they're bringing three different laws. They're bringing Shemitah, they're bringing Orla, and then they're bringing the graft, the line.
Yes.
They're
not all the same. Right. So this is very typical that you have a question. It has to do with something growing. So I was thinking about what was going through Rabbi Ami's head, right? He didn't have an answer. But then what did he ultimately do? He went back and he researched and he found some other sugya that sounded similar and he said, oh, let's learn it from here. And that's always the question. Can you or can't you? Is it comparable? Is it not comparable? So, whereas in the other cases, it doesn't necessarily relate to, is this a fair comparison? The Gemara kind of takes it as, we can't assume it's a fair comparison. In this case, they have a good answer to say, this isn't really a fair comparison because you're going in a different direction. But yeah, it's a good question. Are the dinim the same for all these things? For Shemitah, for Orla, for... Right. But the assumption is that since we're talking about something growing from something else, in theory, it should be similar. If we're talking about DNA B2, yeah, maybe the percentages are different, because in Orla it's 200, and in Truma it's 100, and in regular things it's 60. But we're not, like I said, we're not relating to the numbers, we're relating to the concept, can it be canceled or not? Is there, you know, if there were to be enough, whatever that amount might need to be, could it be canceled or not? And the root behind, you know, no pun intended, but the root behind this all is really the same, is when you plant something, you know, what happens? And that's obviously why it's in our sugya, because how do you treat the gidulim? It's all about how do you view these gidulim that grow, right? It's a little indirectly related to our sugya, because it's not actually, this doesn't really have to do with what we were talking about, but it has to do with how you relate to something that grows from something else. There's also a difference of opinion about when we talk about batsal, is it the type that zaro kale or ain zaro kale? It's not so clear, because they say there were different types of batsalim. Some, you know, did regrow with it and some didn't. And, you know, what's this sugi exactly talking about? Okay, so what we're left with is, again, just to get the flow, because we're going to keep going on tomorrow, he asked a question, couldn't get an answer from Rabbi Ami, got from Yitzchak Nafcha, someone canceled out Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, said, wait, but there's two against one. Shouldn't accept your opinion. He goes back to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami tries to prove from here. It doesn't succeed. And then Rabbi Ami is going to bring a further proof. Okay? That's going to be Elamin Hada, Detanya, and then we're going to start a whole new thing. So I didn't want to start with it today. But he's going to take from another opinion, and that has to do, we're going to get into Devar Sheyesh Limitirin. Okay? All interesting. It's DNA B2. It's come up a lot. Mm-hmm.